Open up your Bibles to 1 John. Review just a little bit and go a little step farther on walking in the light. And this one may become a series. I'm not sure. I had no idea that what was going to start unfolding when I started on this path. But now I'm seeing, dear Lord, there's a lot. So we'll just go right to our, I guess I should go to 1 John myself. We're admonished to walk in the light as He is in the light. So let's do a little review from this morning. We'll start in verse 5, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Let's stop right there for a moment. This is one of those phrases like Dave, when he would teach us about love, he said, God is love. God doesn't just have love. No, He is love. And he would talk about God having faith. He said, God doesn't have faith. God is faith. Well, when it comes to this light, God's not a light. He doesn't have light. God is light. And He is the source of all light. But then to even emphasize farther, in Him there is no darkness at all. And the more I meditated on that, this sentence kept coming to me. You know, God has to get it down where Gary can understand it. So God doesn't grade on a curve. There is no darkness in Him at all. There's no gray. He's only light. There's no mixture. And at first it sounds like bad news because, well, that means in order to walk, let's say it this way, to be accepted by a perfect, holy God who is all light and no dark at all, then you either have to walk perfectly, and I mean perfectly, or you are rejected. There's good type and shadow of that from the law of Moses, because you could keep, theoretically, if somebody could keep the law perfectly their whole life, and they're on their deathbed and they're two breaths away from leaving the planet, and they've kept the law perfectly their whole life. Now, nobody could. This is a theoretical. They're two breaths away, almost to the finish line, and on that next to the last breath, they utter a curse word. Uh-oh. And the law says if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of the whole law. You're just as guilty as if you was a murderer. Yeah, but all I said was, doggone. Church. All I said was, doggone. Curse word. That's it. You're rejected. You're not accepted. And isn't that terrible news? You know what he said to Abraham? That verse used to always bother me. Walk thou perfectly before me. And I went, yeah, who's going to do that? Well, see, that's the bad news. But the good news, God provided a way for each and every one of us to be perfectly accepted before Him. The purpose of the law, really, the real purpose, was not that man could keep it. God knew man could not keep it. No, the law was our schoolmaster. What was the lesson we're supposed to learn? You don't need a law. You need a Savior. And there's the good news of the gospel. Thank God there was one who walked perfectly and uprightly, who never sinned, not even once, not even a doggone, not even nothing, everything perfectly. And if you're, quote, in Him, if you're found in Him, then you are stamped with His righteousness. And that is the gospel. I'm glad y'all came. That's good, isn't it? Man, that is good news right there. So God doesn't grade on a curve. It's 100% or forget it. But in Christ, you are 100%. All right? But then it says, now for us, it's still, He says, now I want you to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now stay in 1 John, but go ahead and go over to the verse that I've never heard anybody preach on, I don't think, not ever, if I can find it here. Oh, we did it this morning, you guys, help me. Oh, 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 14. I've been at this a long time, and it, the best of my, I've run the Rolodex of my memory, and the best that I can think of, I have never in my life heard a sermon on this verse. So it says, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no doubt he's talking about Jesus here, King of kings, Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. Now here's the part. Dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I'm supposed to walk in the light as he is in the light. Where is he? Not as he was in the light, as he is in the light right now. Where is he? He is seated at the right hand of the Father who is light. And we're told real plain here, no man can approach that light. No man can even see that light. Yet I'm supposed to walk in that light. What happens to you when you come to stuff like that? It's back to the prayer closet for me. I mean, it's pray till your lips roll off on the floor and just don't try and rush it. Don't try and force a revelation. And as I would pray about this and meditate on this, and again, this is all review. We are going to go a little farther tonight. He kept bringing to me that passage back in Exodus where Moses wanted to see God. He says, I want to see your glory. I want to see you. And you don't have to turn there. But in Exodus 33:20, God says to him, he says, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. That sounds like a very close verse, doesn't it? Here, God is light. You can't see me, Moses. I know you love me, Moses, but you can't see me and live. Now, the good thing about that is, the next verse, I about had a running fit this time. But the Lord says, now behold, this is Exodus 33, verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. If you went through our series on Ephesians, over and over we studied in great detail that we have been quickened together with him, raised up together with him, and seated together in him. And he's going, there is a place beside me. We know from Hebrews, you don't have to look this one up either, Hebrews 10:2. It says, but this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Isn't that next to me? There's a place by me. That's where Jesus is seated. And if we're in Christ, we are seated in that exact same place. So the way he said it in Exodus, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. Who is our rock? Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will place thee in a clift of the rock. Type in shadow. I'm going to place you in the rock. You got to be in him. Now for Moses, he says, you shall see my hinder parts as I pass by. And even what Moses saw in the type in the shadow was so magnificent, it made his face shine. It scared the, he had to wear a veil across his face. But that glory kept diminishing because that old covenant was going to fade away. But at another time, we'll study in detail. In Christ, that veil is taken away. And we don't look at God through some kind of a veil. We see him directly by looking in the face, directly in the face of Jesus Christ. You can see God. But it's only as we are in him. Well, then verses, okay, keep your place in 1 John. Go with me to Big John. It's amazing how the Lord did this. Right after we got through studying John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Because the key then to walking in the light is abiding in Christ. Paul, we may get to him tonight in his letter to the Philippians. He says, my goal now. He says, all that other that I worked so hard for my whole life, my pedigree, a Jew, born a Jew, of the tribe of Benjamin and so forth, and according to the law, blameless. Everything that he had worked his whole life for, he says, I count all that but rubbish, only good for the dunghill. I give all that up that I may know him and be found in him. When I read this now, we just recently went through John 14, 15, and 16, 17. Look at John 15. The first, I'm going to look at verse 5. Look at verse 4. Starting in verse 1 of 15. Now, look at verse 4. Abide in me. Abide in me. This whole chapter, especially, is talking about abiding in him, not visits on Sunday. Abiding. You look that word up, it means that's your home. That's where you live. Abide in me. He's telling us over and over in these chapters how that we abide in him. Another place he says, abide in my love. You know how you do that? The verses right before it says, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. So let's start in verse 1 of 15. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now the imagery could not be more simple. If you've ever seen any kind of a vineyard, I remember my grandfather's vineyard. There's one trunk come up out of the ground, and he trained it to go down these wires. And you could go clear to the end of that thing, and you could trace it. I did. I'd trace it with my finger. I'd follow them all the way, some of them to the end. I couldn't believe it. But there was unbroken vine, even to the end. But as long as that little end was connected to the main vine, it produced grapes at the end that were no smaller than the grapes at the beginning. They were the same. And even as a little kid, I remember, I thought that was interesting, but I still remember it to this day. The key was to abide in. But if any branch, might be a perfectly good branch, but you cut it, you separate it from the vine, it begins that dying process. It may look green for a while, but it's dead. It's already dead. Okay? His imagery could not be more clear. He's wanting unbroken. Okay, here's another thing. You can't snip off one. Now, this is a little heavy, but you guys are calling in the lost, okay? If you snip off that vine, is it easy to reconnect it again? It's better to abide in the vine. Better to abide in the vine. He's talking about fellowship here. Unbroken fellowship. And remember that 1 John in the letter, he says, I'm writing this to you, that you would have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. We've got to go just a little more here. So verse 4 again. Abide in me, and I, this is John 4, 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't think you're going to have a fruitful Christian life without abiding in him. Abiding in him is more than I love you, Jesus, three times on Sunday. Abiding in him is a continual thing, and this is what he's trying to get across to us. Smith Wigglesworth, the people that knew him, and not just what he wrote himself, but you read books, contemporaries, people that knew him at the time, said one that so many of them that I've read, they said, of all the men that we've known, this man seemed to walk in unbroken fellowship with God. Just unbroken fellowship. Boy, that's what we're after, isn't it? So abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Abide in me. And it's that same picture of the grapes. You got to stay connected all the time. All the time. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If you write in your margin, you ought to write revival. The fruit that we're after is revival. Now, there's the fruit of the Spirit. There's all kinds of fruit. But at this church and around the world with this vision, the fruit we're after is that supernatural revival, because that's the one, that's the mission that he's got us on. For without me, you can do nothing. Come on down to verse 7, just for time's sake. If you abide in me, now there's an and here. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. There's a when he says, if you when he said that to them, were they carrying around red letter New Testaments? They were not. Now they knew what he had said to them. Okay? And that's the red letters that we have. But in their mind, what were they thinking? Every day, how did they function? He spoke, they did. It's just not, Lord, you are Lord, I'm not. You speak, I do. You know, you say, go here, I go here. You say, do that, I do that. You say, give this, I give that. This is not rocket science. So when he says, and my words abide in you, in other words, my words have found a home in you. My words are your life. I have a lesson that I reteach every once in a while. It says, his words are my life. And it's not just the red words. Thank God for the red words that he spoke then, but he has red words for you today. Is that good? He has red words for you today. And that's how we bear the fruit. He speaks, we do. He speaks, we obey. Amen? When he says, and sometimes that's difficult, like with me in that early conversation, which I'm not going to go through again. I hope I always say that, and then I wind up teaching it again. But where he was teaching me how to forgive those two people. Man, that was important. I don't think I'd be in ministry today if I had sloughed that off or ignored that. In fact, I don't even know if I'd be on the planet today, because that kind of thing that bitterness has a way of working on even the physical body over a long period of time. I don't think I'd still be on the planet, much less in ministry, you know. And it was so important. Yes, sir. Now, just as I was driving, I was about to pull in the driveway here tonight, and the Lord reminded me of the dark switch. See, that's funny. We like that. It makes a point. You know, it's not, you know, it's easy to understand. And what he meant by, have you ever been in a room where there was a dark switch? We have too much light. I think I will flip on the dark. Does that work? See? Boy, you're going to love these teachings that I'm seeing them. I haven't had a chance to dig them out yet. When it says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been translated over into the kingdom of light, darkness has zero power over light. The kingdom of darkness has no authority over you whatsoever, in the same way that there's no such thing as a dark switch. Darkness cannot overcome light. Darkness cannot. He said, don't go by that too quick. I want you to let them know. And I'm telling you right now, cancer is not of the light. Cerebral palsy is not of the light. Not all of that is a product of the fall. Now, I'm not saying it's caused by sin. Let's don't go, you know, who did sin? And Jesus said, neither one of them sinned. In essence, he's saying, you're born into this fallen world. It's a world of darkness. It's a world of darkness. But we are children of the light, and the darkness has no power over you. Another thought I had coming, about to turn in. It's amazing. God is light. Would you say Satan is darkness? I would. Can Satan make God do anything? Can Satan put sickness on God? Can Satan do anything? Does he have any power over God whatsoever? You're a child of light. And he has no authority over you, no power over you. I preach that knowing that Alan taught this morning, who to me is a man of courage. I love that Alan will stand there and like spit in the devil's eye. And I'm going to preach the gospel. I don't care what I'm going through. That's a man after my own heart, see? But the truth of the matter is, and Alan would agree with me if he's standing here, he says, I don't care what these circumstances say, Satan has no authority over me. Because darkness has no power over light. No wonder Jesus said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore. And he says, nothing shall by any means harm you. That doesn't mean that people won't. You know, but Satan has to work through people normally. Okay. We're going to get this revelation. I'm telling you. When you walk in the room, light walked in the room. Let me put it another way. When you walk in the room, darkness has to go. Do you ever see it flip on a light switch and it's all light except one little corner? There's one little black box in the corner. Say it's like a 4x4 square of darkness. And you're going, what are you doing? I ain't leaving. It's ridiculous. Does that 4x4 box of dark... My mind. Pray for me. I see this 4x4 box of dark and it's going to resist the light. That is silly. Does it have any power to resist the light? See, the only thing for the only way darkness can exist is in the absence of light. That's really why your fellowship with abiding in Him is so important. Because that's what, can I say, keeps the light burning? That fellowship with Him, in Him. Man, that's what keeps it burning. See? Okay. Anyway, he was saying again to me, he says, don't go by that too quick. It's not just for a cute little saying. We've got to get this. Satan has no dark switch he can flip on you. He has no authority over you whatsoever. And I don't care what you're fighting. To me, you're a hero if you're here on Calling in the Lost and you're going through something physical and maybe very serious. God bless you. You're a hero in my sight, you know. Amen? I want you in my corner when I'm in trouble. And I want warriors in my corner. Anyway, hallelujah. Praise God. Christ. Let me read a little bit that I wrote here, and then we'll get into some new things from this morning. I don't want to go by these too quick, though. That is so important, that light switch. I want you to think of yourself from now on. You are the light switch. You really are. When you walk in, darkness goes. And remember that little 4x4 box? Can't stay. Darkness can't stay. It has no will of its own. And it has no power over light. None. And we are children of the light. Another time we'll get into those messages. It said, you are children of the light. Now walk as children of the light. See? We can only approach the light, see the light, and walk in the light as we remain in Christ. And I'm talking about abiding in Him, fellowship with Him. See, it is the new man that is in Christ. Your flesh is not. Your flesh is not in Christ. Your flesh still can't walk up and look at God. Your spirit man can. Because your spirit man's born of Him. Your flesh would be consumed, just like Moses. If you tried to walk up and see God, it would consume your flesh. There's another verse. This corruptible cannot inherit immortality. This corruptible has to inherit immortality. Amen? We're going to get new bodies that are not corrupted so we can see God with our spiritual body. But the way we are right now, you can't. So the only way we can do this and walk in the light, approach the light, is to do it in Christ. And that's our new man. Okay? The Adamic part of us, the flesh, cannot see the light nor approach the light, but the new man can. In Christ. Now, while we're at it, have you got this picture? Here's the light. No man can approach that light. In Exodus, when he says, no man can see my face and live, the word man there, the Hebrew word is Adam. No son of Adam. Aren't you glad you're not a son of Adam anymore? But your flesh is. Your flesh is still child of Adam. No man can do it. But in our spirit, we can approach that light. Actually, we're seated right next to that light in Christ. But that's the only way we can be there. And to me, it dawned on me, and that's another aspect of what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father. What if I said, no man comes to the light? No man can come to the light but by me. You've got to be in Christ, or you can't approach it. The only way you can approach that light, you've got to be in Christ. I like them. All right, we're going to start with... Got a little check. Hang on just a moment. Let me look at something here. Okay, yes. All right, I understand. Okay. I was about to go there. We'll get to that one another time. Go ahead and... I mentioned this morning right at the end of the service that there are two lights. God's given us really two lights to walk by. One is the new nature. And this is Nathan 101. Those of you, how many likes and loves Nathan's teaching on walking? And it's really goes back to Dave. Dave told us on the born again trail. He said, it's that new nature that God uses to set you free from sin. It's not the Holy Spirit that makes you free from sin. If it was the Holy Spirit that did, he would have set all the Old Testament saints free from sin. No. God only has, remember how Dave would labor it? God only has one thing to work with, just this one thing, and that's the new nature. And I love how Nathan has broken that down in Romans chapter 2, when the Gentiles, who have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. Their thoughts, meanwhile, either excusing or accusing. See, that's that conscience. That's the voice of the new nature. That's what you receive. That's literally how God writes his laws on your heart and on your mind. As you get born again, you get a new spirit on the inside of you. And that new spirit is created, Ephesians tells us, from the get-go, instantly, in righteousness and holiness. Now, it doesn't know, it's not all-knowing like God, but its nature is pure and holy. And righteous. If you listen to that voice, it'll guide you in so many things. Right decisions, wrong decisions. And sometimes you won't even, your head will have trouble figuring out why. Your head won't know. But in here, you'll know. You know, I can't go in there, and I don't know why I can't go in there, but I'm not going in there. Why? I've got a light. I've got a light on the inside of me. It's the new nature. Be turning to John 11. Big John. You won't find John 11 in 1 John anyway. So, Okay, and hold your places there. Hold your places there, because I want to talk about that second. Let's go ahead and talk a little more about the new nature. So turn over to Matthew 6. We may get them both in here. This is really talking about the new nature and your soul and what you focus on. It's your choice. And we're talking about light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses you from all sin. You got to walk in the light of the new nature. That's primarily what he's talking about here. Walking in the light of the new nature. You do that by staying close fellowship with the vines. Abide in him. Obey his commandments. But now notice this. Matthew 6, look at starting in verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. Now, he's drawing an analogy. My physical body, the light of my body is my natural eye. Okay? If thine eye therefore be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Well, that's not hard. I'm walking through a dangerous mountain pass. Maybe it's very narrow. One misstep. You know, maybe it's the Grand Canyon, and there's some ledges right there, you know. And trust me, my eye is going to be single. I'm not going to have one eye on the path and one eye on my iPhone. I'm not going to be texting while I'm walking right there. You understand what he's saying? If thine eye be single, focus, boy. Focus on this path you're on, okay? Then your whole body will be full of light, and you'll not stumble. You won't fall off. You won't have an accident. So then, though, he says, now, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of light. Well, what does evil mean? He tells you. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? He's really talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's talking about religion that does not have life. He's talking about a mixture. We may, in this, before it's over, get into the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which Jesus talks about a lot in the book of Revelations, and says he hated that. He didn't hate the Nicolaitans. He hated their doctrine. Well, their doctrine was it's okay for Christians to mingle with the world. It's okay. It's very close to the radical grace message today. It's a little step beyond it, but radical grace is on that path, headed towards the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He says, how great is that darkness? Now look, he started off saying, if thine eye be single, but now notice, no man can serve two masters. How your eye gets evil is you take your focus off of Jesus. You take your focus off of the kingdom of God. And your eye, you're trying to walk a path with your eye on two things at the same time. I love God, but I also love money. And that's what he talks about here. No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I'm telling you, this has a whole lot to do. This has more to do with the new nature than it does the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I know when I got really saved at age 33, my whole life up to that point, for years and years, trust me, I was serving mammon. Every decision I made, every plan that I made was about what kind of house we're going to live in, what kind of cars we're going to drive, how we're going to educate our kids, how can I get more money, and it wasn't to put into the gospel either. You know, bigger cars and VCRs, hot rods and iPods, SUVs and DVDs, that was it. You know, it was all about stuff for me, okay? But yet, there was a part of me that wanted God, all right? He said, that's a path to destruction, and no man can do it. He says, look, when you get born, I know when I got born again, something changed on the inside of me. My motivations. Now, it wasn't totally dead, because I got hooked later on by the prosperity preachers for quite a few years. There was still enough alive in me where they got me focusing more on my reward than my service to the King. So it didn't totally die. But I know that there was a real serious blow dealt to the love of money the day I got born again. And the decisions that I would have made the week before, I never would make them again. Never would. You couldn't get me to move to Omaha for a certain amount of money, you know, unless God said go to Omaha. And I'm not against Omaha. I like Omaha. I'm just picked a town. I could have said Sepulpa. It doesn't matter. Okay. So, now, in that same vein now, go to Colossians chapter 3. I want to look at this again. Would it be wrong to say, set your affection on God, don't set your affection on money? Would that be fair? And we want to walk in the light? Then you need to not try and serve two masters. Get it straight. The instructions, I'm just telling you, I've been at this a long time. I'm just telling you now, the instructions that you are going to get from God are going to nearly always clash with what mammon would tell you to do. Just nearly always. I'm making stuff up now. This is just an example. God says to Lisa, I want you to put $10,000 in the offering. Lisa goes, amen. Mammon would say all kinds of things right there. You're going to need that $10,000. Now, it's ridiculous. You know, let's just say she has it, because obviously she does. So, hallelujah. Mammon will say all kinds of things. You better not put that $10,000. you know, your car's about wore out. This is going to, you know, you're going to need it for this. You're going to need it for that. Remember, you were saving for such and. I mean, it will go on, and it'll say, well, you could, you know, it'll start negotiating. You might could give $1,000. And if you agree to that, it'll say, you know, really $500 would be better. And if you keep listening to that, you'll be lucky if you put $5 in the offering. Yet God wanted you to put $10,000 in there. I'm telling you, I'm not just this. I'm using that example's made up. But what I'm telling you is absolutely the truth. Mammon will always come against the leadership of God. And you better have a single eye. A single eye on the kingdom. See, if we was to finish that in Matthew 6, you know how it ends at the end. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then, if that's your focus, that's your single eye. I'm focusing on the King and what He tells me to do. It says, if you do that, all these things will be added unto you. Was it Sunday night last week? Focus on the Zoe, and He will provide the bios. Remember that? You focus on your life in God. He will make sure you have what you need for your biological needs. That's a good message last Sunday night. Anyway, did you go to Colossians? Okay, chapter 3. Same. It's really the same message. Paul is just taking Jesus' text and writing a letter based on the same thing. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And by the way, you're seated there in Him. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What if we said, set your affection on God and not on mammon? Okay? For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So even this, whether you serve mammon or serve God, that primarily has to come by the new nature. Who do you love? Who are you spending your time with? Sue would think, I love you, baby. I love you, sweetheart. And I'm never home. Maybe I come in once every few days for a change of clothes and a peck on the cheek, you know. I love you, baby. Uh-huh. That might go on for a little bit, and not very long, not with Sue. She's going to figure out pretty quick, he don't really love me. You know, who and what you love, you spend time with. Amen? Well, he's saying, set your affection on things above. Well, Christ is there for the first off. Okay, I'm going to do one on the light of the Holy Spirit. Now go to John 11, okay? I barely introduced this morning, and then we ran out of time. So let me capsulize the story. What's going on here? If you go back into chapter 10, you'll find out that the Jews were out to kill Jesus. They had set out to kill Him. So Jesus and His disciples left, and they went into another part of another region. And the enemy attacks Jesus' close friend, Lazarus. He really was a close friend. Jesus would visit often at Bethany. And he attacked him with a sickness that looks like it's unto death. So Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, they sent envoys to find Jesus. And they said, look, your friend Lazarus is really sick. See, and I've meditated this. You know, and without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I just talk about Gary, not you. I know that if I had an anointing where every time I prayed for somebody, they got healed. If I was really there, like Jesus was there, and somebody says, you know, your best friend is sick. If you come, you know, he won't die. I know that I would hot foot it right over there, and I'd fall right into the devil's trap. See? I know I would, but Jesus didn't walk by His own understanding. He says, I don't even consult my own will. Remember that? So, picking it up now, let's talk about the light of the Holy Spirit. Picking it up in verse 9. Okay, let's back up where He tells them. He says, okay, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard, therefore, that he, Lazarus, was sick, well, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after the 2 days, he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now the disciples knew. They knew that what was waiting in Judea. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Now, plain English. Are you crazy? What? Don't you know that they're waiting back there to kill you? Why in the world would you choose to make a decision like that? See, they're thinking just like natural humans think with their natural reasoning. Why would you make a decision like that? And he's starting to give them an answer. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? He's talking about the natural light. If any man walk in the day, in other words, where you can see, he stumbles not because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, you could just say darkness, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Okay, now there's two lights, I'm telling you. One is the light that comes by the new nature. That light is primarily a righteous light. Green light, red light, this is okay, that's not okay. When it comes to righteousness and a walk of holiness. But Dave taught on over and over again. He says, that new man on the inside of you is just that. It is a man. It is a new creature. It is not all-knowing. It has no way of knowing things outside of itself. It knows right from wrong. It knows holiness. But it does not know things. And it doesn't have information out beyond itself. But the Holy Spirit is another person. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing. And the Holy Spirit can give you information that you have no other way of knowing. Now see, it is possible for Jesus to get a witness. And you can get a witness. Suddenly you know it's okay to go and you don't know how, you don't know why. That is a leadership. That's the Holy Spirit kind of nudging your spirit. Go ahead and go. And you don't know why. But when you get information that's supernaturally given to you, that's not from your new nature. That's from the Holy Spirit. So now watch. He said, he gave it to him in the form of a parable. Look, I'm not walking in the dark. In the same way that in the daytime you can see where you're stepping so you don't make a mistake, I've got a light on the inside of me. I'm not guessing, boys. I'm not guessing about this. I know what I'm doing. I've got a light that I'm walking by. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. You got to love the disciples. Oh, good. He's sleeping. He'll get better. We don't need to go. He'll do well, Lord. Whew, that's a relief. He's sleeping. If he's sleeping, he's going to recover. Good. We don't have to go and face this. But see, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. So Jesus, he has to just finally tell them plainly, look, now here's the supernatural information. Lazarus is dead. How does he know that? How does the new man on the inside have access to that knowledge? Not on its own. But it has access to that knowledge through the Holy Ghost. One time there was a man in Australia, this is a true story, a man of God in Australia that had sat under Dave many, many years ago in the early days of Dave's ministry. And I don't know all the details, but I know the pertinent part. He was in Australia and he needed to get a hold of Dave Roberson. For some reason, I've got to get a hold of Dave Roberson. He tried everything he knew. And I don't even know if Dave had started this church yet. I don't know. Well, yeah, he did because he called the office. So anyway, but he wasn't having any success in the natural. He said, God, you want me to get a hold of Dave? You've got to help me do that. God, help me get a hold of Dave. And he was outside. Numbers began appearing in the sky. Like somebody writing with a supernatural finger, writing numbers. He gets his phone out. Dung, 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 dung. Call. Hello, Dave Roberson Ministries. Now, your new nature, that's not a light that comes from the new nature. But your new nature, if you're abiding in the vine, is in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has all knowledge. He can give you a phone number. Remember when he said to, given that information, he says, go to a street called Straight. Inquire of a certain house. I think it was Simon the Tanner or something. You know, he can give you addresses and phone numbers and exactly do it now and do it later. Whatever he says. We have two lights. You got the light of the new nature to walk. That's your perfect guide. Get Nathan 101. He does as good a job or better, you know, just really in fine detail. If you follow that, you're going to walk righteous and holy. But then you've got another light, and that's the light of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost now, that's where you start getting the mind of Christ. And you start fighting. It's not just righteousness and holiness. He'll start bringing you your assignment from God. He'll start bringing you information that you have no other way of knowing. People will wonder about you like they wondered about him. But Jesus wasn't guessing. He knew it was okay because once Lazarus died, if you're the Jews down there waiting to kill Jesus when he comes to heal Lazarus, and Lazarus dies, what are you going to think? He ain't coming. We can go home. This didn't work. You know, he's not coming. Then they dispersed. Then Jesus comes in and said, oh, this is not hard. We'll just raise him from the dead. Well, he's a child of light, and guess what? So are we. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of his son continually cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of that? Ooh, I like this stuff. I like this. I like this. Hallelujah. So excited. Praise the Lord. You want to study it ahead of time? It's Paul. Philippians chapter 3, I believe, where Paul says, I count everything but dung. And 3:10. I better not get into it. I'll just start teaching it. Okay. But he said, everything that I worked for my whole life, everything that I prized, I just threw it on the rubbish heap and count it but dung, that I might know him and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith, the righteousness which is by him. All right, we'll get into that when we get back. Glory to God.